Our brother James, in his little 5-chapter book, said that the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. We talked about that last week, and we're going to continue to talk about that again this morning. Effective prayer that accomplishes much is available to every child of God. It is not only our blessing, but also, in some respects, our responsibility. A.C. Dixon makes this observation: when we rely upon organization, we get what organization can do. When we rely upon education, we get what education can do. When we rely upon eloquence, we get what eloquence can do. And he said, nor am I disposed to undervalue any of these in their proper place, but when we rely on prayer, we get what God can do. How important then is it for us to learn how to pray effectively? In our text in John chapter 17, Jesus emphasizes the power of prayer, saying, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." Last week we talked about 3 keys to effective prayer, namely that of maintaining a close relationship with the Lord, and then secondly, expressing freely our desires to the Lord, and then finally, committing our trust completely in the Lord. Those 3 things. We talked about the first one last week. We're going to deal with the second 2 keys this morning. And so, in addition to maintaining a close relationship to the Lord, let us also realize that effective prayer involves freely expressing our desires to the Lord. And in our text, Jesus simply says, "Ask whatever you wish." Ask whatever you wish. We want to be able to do that. We want to be free in our expressions to the Lord. Before we can do that, there are several prerequisites. The first one we already touched on to some extent, and that is to focus on our relationship to the Lord. We can actually be freer to express our desires to the Lord when we are in right relationship with Him. And so He says, "Ask whatever you wish." Now, when Jesus uses the word ask, A-S-K, it is a word that implies dependency. You ask someone who can help you. It's a dependent type of thing. How many times as parents, when our children were growing up and had that streak of independence and were trying to do it by themselves and growing frustrated in the process, and we, observing their frustration, simply said something to the effect, "If you had asked me, I would help you." But somehow asking requires a bit of surrender, a bit of humility. I can't do it myself. And so Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you." So you think about that for a moment and realize that prayer is very much an act of demonstrating our dependency upon God. We ask because we cannot do it on our own. Sometimes we think we can. Sometimes we think the Lord is dependent upon us. We'll say things like, "The Lord needs you." The Lord doesn't need you. The Lord doesn't need me. He has all power. He loves us. He wants us to express our desires to Him. But we are the ones who need the Lord and not the other way around. And so we have songs that we sing about prayer that are very important. "I need thee every hour" is an expression of our need for God, our dependency upon Him. Albert Lemonson, who has done a good deal of writing about the subject of prayer, he observed that prayer is allowing God to do His will on His terms. That's right, His will on His terms. One writer said that prayer is surrender. surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. And then he illustrates by saying, if I throw out a boat hook from the boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but aligning of my will to the will of God. I think that's important. Sometimes we command God. We tell him what to do, and we expect him to do it as though he were subservient to us, when prayer is actually an act of surrendering to God. Pride, which says, I can make it on my own, I can do it myself without the Lord's help, is perhaps the greatest deterrent to prayer. And so when he uses the word prayer, when he tells us to pray, that's actually an action of humility and dependency. The word prayer is translated 125 times in the Bible by the word consecration. Prayer is to prostrate ourselves before God. It's a demonstration of our complete humility toward him. It involves self-surrender. Our prayers are to be characterized by not my will, but yours be done. So we talk about a prerequisite to freely expressing our desires. It's to focus on our relationship to the Lord. He is the Lord. We are his servants. Keep that in mind as you pray. And the second prerequisite to a freedom of expression in prayer is to identify our desires. Ask, and then he says, whatever you wish. Whatever is kind of one of those expressions that is inclusive of so many things. It's very broad in its terminology. Whatever. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Well, the answer is no. He can do all things consistent with his will. And so we can express our desires to him, whatever those desires might happen to be. But those desires are guided by the fact that we are abiding in Christ and his word is abiding in us. The Lord's will must come before our personal desires. In 1 John 5 and verse 14, John says, this is the confidence which we have before him. Notice, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us in what we ask, we know that whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked from him. If we ask anything according to his will. Some things are not according to his will. They may be our will, but they may not be according to his will. I heard a story a number of years ago about a lady wrote in Reader's Digest about attending services somewhere down in Kentucky, and there was this little loud, boisterous child, this little boy, that finally his dad got fed up with him and yanked him up in his arms and walked out with him. And nobody really noticed it until he did that. But then as he was walking out with him, the boy was facing the audience and saying, y'all pray for me now. And you probably have stories like that abound, but that's certainly the kind of thing that we think about. It may not be that prayer would have availed in that situation. It may not have been the Lord's will. But the whatever is what we're talking about. The whatever. Our desires need to be guided by his will. And so when we think about our desires, whatever we desire, asking of him, there are three principles we want to keep in mind. Our will first needs to be submissive to his will. Thy will be done. Secondly, there's a principle found in Matthew chapter 6 about seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. That would be another prerequisite to whatever we're going to ask. And the third thing is that we need to let love be the guiding principle. Love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, strength, and soul. And if our desires fall into that description, then whatever we ask we know that He hears us and answers us in keeping with His will. But the third prerequisite to being able to express our desires is that we need to get more specific in our requests. We focused on the relationship, we identify the desires, and then we need to get specific with the requests. First of all, we need to remember James' advice, you have not because you ask not. We need to be asking those things. And asking is an important prerequisite. Jesus invited the disciples to ask anything in His name. In John 14 and verse 13, whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, so that My Father may be glorified in His Son. If you ask anything in My name, He will do it. And then in 1 John 3:21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. So God wants us to be specific. He wants us to identify our desires and then give it even more thought and be specific about the request. Be anxious for nothing, Paul said, but in everything, with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Too many of our prayers are generic. And it's not that they're wrong to be generic. I mean, we'll say, bless the church and bless the family and bless our parents and bless our children and bless the missionaries and bless those who are sick and all of that. That's fine. But the challenge is, now how do we want God to bless them? What do we want God to do for them specifically? This helps our freedom of expression, to put more time into the prayer by thinking about specifically as we are walking in the light of His Word and as we are guided by the principles of seeking His will first. What do we want specifically? A number of years ago, I read about an elder in Fargo, Texas, who was leading a prayer at church. And this is how specific he got in his prayer. He said, Lord, you know what a hard time Mother and I have had in keeping the family on our farm. Now, Lord, that rig has moved in, and if you think we can't manage our affairs with oil, give us a dry hole. But, Lord, if you believe we can manage it, please give us a gusher. Now, that was pretty specific. And sometimes we're afraid to get specific. We think, well, that's kind of irreligious, or maybe that's kind of prideful or being selfish. But if we're keeping ourselves within the will of God and our desires are appropriately guided by the principles we mentioned, we need to get specific about things. As long as we feel that we're not able to express our specific desires, our prayer lives will remain on the same level, somewhat shallow. But they can get deeper. They can become more meaningful and effective when we learn how to get specific. So focus on your relationship with the Lord. Let your godly desires be identified and get specific in your prayers to the Father. Now, the third key. Not only do we need to be free to express our desires to God, not only do we need to maintain that right relationship with Him, but finally, the third key to an effective prayer life is that we need to trust in the Lord, specifically to trust in His almighty power. He says it this way in our text in John 15. He says, it will be done for you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. What about God's power? God's power is characterized by evidence. God's power is proven. When Jesus chose that word, will be done, He's not leaving a shadow of doubt behind in the expression there. Will be done is the same word used in John chapter 1 and verse 3 when it speaks about Jesus as having a part in creation, that all things were created through Him. And apart from Him, nothing has come into being that has come into being. That expression, come into being, is the same word, actually, as the word will be done. And that may suggest something about the power of God. The power of our Creator, the one who spoke the worlds into existence, is the one who is listening to the prayer of the man or woman or child who is praying in keeping with God's will to answer those prayers. According to His will, He will answer. He will grant our prayers in our own best interest, but also in keeping with His sovereign will. That power is what Paul spoke about in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. He said, since the creation of the world, His eternal power, that is His divine nature, invisible attributes of eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen through that which has been made, so that they are without excuse. So the power of God is proven. Everywhere we look, we see it. We see evidence of His power in creation. We see evidence of His power all around us. But the power of God is also effective. There's no doubt in the mind that as we pray, God's will be done. There's effectiveness. 1 John 5:14, we mentioned a moment ago, this is a confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked from Him. This is God Almighty, the Father, the Creator. Ephesians 3:20 says, in Him, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think through the power that works within us. To Him be the glory. God is able. He is effective. So why do we have so much difficulty trusting in Him the way we should trust in Him? I think it's often because we're not looking at things through faith, but by sight. We're not recognizing the power of God to work and to operate in our lives through His providential care and keeping. And so we see the external, but are unable to perceive that behind the scenes is a God who is eternal. And that's the God upon whom we rely in prayer. Why does it seem that we wait and wait until every avenue has been exhausted, except that of prayer? Well, I guess nothing else has worked, so I guess we better pray. When in reality, we need to pray first, recognizing God's power and its effectiveness. And then finally, about God's power, we need to recognize that it is reliable. When has God's power ever failed? Every morning you get up, sure enough, that sun's coming up. Every evening it goes back down. His reliability in the natural world is astounding. The reliability of the things that He has created and made is beyond our comprehension. He's reliable in spiritual things as well. Even when we pray, we make sure that our prayers are asked out of the right motives and for the right purposes, according to His will. But even if our prayer is not answered specifically the way that we think that it ought to be answered, we realize that God's ways are beyond our ways. His thoughts are beyond our thoughts. He may answer prayer differently than what we would expect Him to answer or would like for Him to answer. But even then, God's power has not failed. He simply knows and is able to do far more than we can imagine. We may not always get exactly what we think we should, but so many times after reflecting upon it, we recognize that God really knew what He was doing. And even if we don't reach that point right away, someday we will understand it in a better way. You're familiar with a poem that's so dear to many of our hearts. I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I ask for help that I might do greater things, but I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. To Despite myself, my prayers were answered. I am among all men most blessed. We need to be more like a man I saw in a cartoon, one of those little cartoons you get out of a religious publication. And sometimes the cartoons teach as much as several paragraphs. You know, if you're like me, that's what I look at first in a newspaper is the cartoons. I like that. So in this cartoon, there was an old farmer leaning with one arm on the pulpit. He's dressed in beat-up overalls. He was talking to the church and said, "We've gathered here today to pray for rain. Who's brought their umbrella?" You should pause and think about that. Isn't that true? Do we trust in God's power? Do we trust in His wisdom? An effective prayer life demands an ability to trust in the power of God. Some people scoff at the idea. No, God didn't answer prayer today. But He does answer prayer. Now, I know that He doesn't answer prayer in the miraculous way that you read about in the New Testament. The age of miracles, when miracles were given, true miracles, supernatural events, to confirm the spoken word of God. But God still answers prayer in His providence and working behind the scenes. And it is still true that there's nothing too difficult for the Lord. We can still trust in the power of God. Some people say, well, that's just a coincidence. Isn't it amazing how many coincidences are brought about by prayer? God works. God answers prayer. And we need to be praying people. Because people who do not pray do not have the power that they need to live effectively. God made it so that we can have an effective prayer life. And that it's based on that closer relationship with the Lord. It's based on the idea that we can freely express to Him all things that are our desires, and that we trust in His mighty power. Now for a moment, just consider the first key, that of being in right relationship with the Lord. Are you in Christ? Because that's a description, a biblical terminology, to describe the relationship that we need in Christ to be right with God. Galatians 3 verse 27 says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Are you abiding in Jesus? Have you wandered away from His love? Have you strayed from the church for which He died to purchase with His blood? Are you, as a Christian, striving to maintain that right relationship with the Lord? We don't ask questions on Sunday morning. How many prayed every day this week? Or how many read the Bible every day this week? Maybe we ought to do more of that, particularly striving to become daily Bible readers. Because when you read your Bible, it's hard not to pray, isn't it? Both of them go together so well. But I read about a place in Africa where the natives were converted to Christianity, and they all began praying every day. And everybody had their own place to pray. Like Jesus said, go into your room to pray. Well, they had a little place out away from the village that would be all theirs, a place out in the brush. And from the village to that place, there'd be a little path that they would travel to get there. And everybody had their own little path, their own little place to pray. And it became the case that over time, people began to recognize who was taking which path to pray. And it became their custom, as they loved one another and cared about one another, that when they saw grass growing over the path, they knew that that person was not spending time in prayer. And they would approach them in a loving way and said, "Friend, there's grass on your path." And that's saying, "What's going on?" Well, we might ask the same thing. Is there grass on your path? If there is, then I believe the Lord wants you to take care first of the relationship issue. Because grass growing on the pathway to prayer indicates that we're not maintaining the relationship that we ought to maintain. You cannot just simply say, "Well, I'm going to pray more." You need to take care of the relationship issue. If it involves repentance and prayer, you need to do that and get back into that relationship. Sometimes it takes uncluttering the life and resetting priorities for effective prayer to take place. But free up your schedule. Make some lists. Be specific in your prayers. Make sure that you're seeking His will first in your life. We'd like to ask this morning as we conclude this lesson, take that self-examination. Look at your life. Look at your disciplines in regard to prayer and study of God's Word, and try to make the changes you need to make by relying upon God to help you. If you need to make things right with the Lord, and we're here to help you and to pray with you and to pray for you. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus, and you need to get in that right relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, we're here to help. If you need to, upon your faith and repentance, be baptized into Christ, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing this song together.